I am convinced that if we will treat our wives with more respect, if we will act to them like they are a queen and a princess, they will respond like one to us.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of The Tide. I'm Dave Dino, and I'm really glad you've joined us, because on today's program, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger begins his two-part series, Protecting Your Marriage from Sexual Sin. Now, along the way, he'll give us six keys to making our marriages stronger. Each comes directly from the pages of Scripture and from the pen of the wisest man who ever lived. We'll begin today's message shortly, but first, let's join Dwayne for a few opening thoughts. Dwayne, your message today is about protecting our marriages from sexual sin, and it's something that a growing number of Christians have been unable to do, unfortunately. Why do you think the church has experienced so many recent struggles in this area?
Dave, that's not a real simple question to answer, because I believe there are many influences. We are inundated with social pressures. There is the modern media that is just infiltrating every aspect of our lives. The modern philosophies, worldliness, counter-scripture, elimination of God. And when you take God out of the mix of marriage, it doesn't go well. I really believe that the number one reason that marriages are struggling, at least most often, is because of an individual or a couple's spiritual condition. Marriage is often a mirror of the spiritual life.
Well, let's say there's a listener out there who has never cheated on his or her spouse, never even come close. How is today's message relevant to a person like that?
The good news is I'm going to be sharing to anyone who has an interest in marriage or wants to make their marriage stronger. In just a moment, I'm going to be talking about making marriage stronger. And so I believe anybody who's interested in making their marriage better than it is will benefit from this message.
You know, if you want your car to run smoothly, if you want it to last, you've got to invest in a little preventative maintenance. Well, the same is true of marriage. Here's Dwayne with part one of his message, Protecting Your Marriage from Sexual Sin.
We are in a marriage series, and I just want to let you know, if you have young children, families, this is sensitive material today, and you may wish not to have them here. I just want to let you know before we go there today. I believe God wants to again speak to us about a very relevant issue in our culture, in our society today. There was a large billboard along a freeway. It was advertising a hotel, and it said this: "Come have your affair with us." Perhaps a dual message. More than having an event there, but suggesting in our sex-crazed society, come and have an affair here with us. After a Sunday morning Sunday school class, a young boy climbed in the car with his father, and father asked his son, "What was your Sunday school class about?" And the young boy said, "Oh, we studied the Ten Commandments today." And the young boy said to his daddy, "What does it mean when the teacher said that one of the commandments is, thou shalt not commit agriculture?" The father thought for a moment, and then the witty father said, "Son, that just means that you're not supposed to plow another man's field." How applicable the words. We're supposed to make sure we stay within God's fences and in our own field. I want to talk to you today about protecting your marriage from sexual sin. In Luke 10, we have a story of Jesus sending out 72 to minister. I just want to call your attention before we look into a passage today. Notice, how did he send out those 72? Do you remember? He sent them two by two. There was strength and there was accountability in sending them out two by two. You could have said, "Jesus, but wouldn't you have had a greater impact in ministry if you had sent them out one by one? You could have gone to double the places." but he combined them in pairs of two for strength, support, encouragement, and accountability. And I think when God is raising us up as young adults and he brings that person into our lives, he's bringing somebody to do that same thing, the same principles and concepts that he brought together with those believers and followers that he sent out, the 72. He wants us to have somebody who's there for an encourager, a support, a helpmeet. One who provides encouragement, but also help us provide accountability in our spiritual journey. I want you to know today that there is power in a pair. Do you believe that? There is power in a pair. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. I, different times, like to pick up a different translation of the Bible and read it. It's fresh. It gives different perspective. I'm using today the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in public, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Don't share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving doe, a graceful deer. Let her breast satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, with an immoral woman, or embrace the breasts of an adulterous woman? For the Lord sees clearly what a man does, examining every path he takes. As I was doing some reading this last week, I've been reading a book called Every Man's Battle. If you have not read that book, I'd highly recommend it to you, especially if you find yourself as a man struggling with sexual temptations. Very good, pointed, candid, relevant book, Every Man's Battle. It's a subtitle, Every Man's Guide to Winning the War on Sexual Temptation, One Victory at a Time. It's written by Steve Otterberg and Fred Stoker. But he talks about how in our sexual society and all of the morals and the mores have been washed away, how careless people have become. And he writes of this experience. He says, the first time I had sexual intercourse, it was with a girl I knew I would marry. The next time, it was with a girl I thought I would marry. The time after that, it was with a good friend I might learn to love. Then it was with a female I barely knew, simply wanted to have sex, who simply wanted to have sex to see what sex was like. Then the testimony reads, finally, I had sex with anyone, anytime. And we see there that slippery slope of sexual immorality. Satan will suck us in and lead us down to our death and destruction. I notice from this passage in Proverbs chapter 5 some instruction that will help us make our marriage stronger. Let's take a look at these. Number one, as individuals, we are supposed to delight in and enjoy your spouse. Delight in and enjoy your spouse. Sometimes our humanness begins to add things to the list of negativism and criticisms that we have. But we need to stop and we need to make a list of all the things that we love and appreciate, the values. Start listing out the things and the reasons why you do love them, what you do appreciate about them. Start delighting in your spouse instead of building that mental list of what you don't like about your spouse. Tip the balance by reflecting on what you do appreciate your spouse. I see that in verse 15, delight in and enjoy your spouse. In verses 16 and 17, I see that he tells us that we are to enjoy and abandon ourselves to our spouse. And the concept is also given to us in 1 Corinthians 7, where it tells us your body belongs to your spouse. We are to abandon our bodies to our spouse. We're to abandon ourselves. But the next thing, did I jump one? I jumped one. Number two, we are to keep ourselves for our spouse alone. He says here in these verses, why spill your waters in the streets with somebody you don't know? Now, he's painting some pretty graphic pictures there. He's talking about complete physical and sexual expression there. Don't give yourself like that to somebody in the streets, a stranger, somebody outside of a covenant lifelong commitment. That joy is intended for marriage relationship, committed to each other and committed before God. And we see that we are to enjoy and abandon ourselves completely to our spouse. We don't need to be embarrassed. We don't need to be shy. We don't need to hold back. Scriptures in the New Testament says that the marriage bed is undefiled. We don't need to feel dirty. We don't need to feel ashamed. We don't need to feel like we're hiding either from each other or from God. God has brought men and women together in a marital commitment, and He blesses that union. I have read, and perhaps you can understand, the analogy is this. Just as we partake of the bread and the cup in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, our sexual expression to each other as husband and wife, copulation, sexual intercourse, is a renewing of our marital commitment vow when we participate. And so we need to reflect on that and realize and celebrate that marriage commitment. And in that act, just as a memory of communion, being a remembering of what Jesus did for us in His death and shed blood and resurrection on the cross, our marital intimacy is a reflection on our love and our marital commitment and our day of our wedding. Celebrate and abandon. Enjoy yourself with your spouse. A fourth thing I see it in verse 19. We are to be captivated and satisfied with our spouse. Oh, in our world where there is so many things flashed in front of our eyes, so many things on the covers of magazines, and so much women struggle with self-esteem and comparison issues. And men, we have to be honest. We see those things. And our tendency is to look at that. And sometimes we take those thoughts into our marriage, and even our spouse perhaps feels that even more. And those comparison things can hurt and injure and damage our marriages. And husbands, we need to speak words of affirmation. Our love. And you need to be graphic in your expressions to your spouse. You love and appreciate. Scripture does not hold back here. But Scripture says to us as men that we are to be satisfied with your spouse's form. You need to tell her that you delight in her, that you do not compare her with those other figures that you see on the front of covers of magazines or on movie screens or television ads. Let her know that you delight in her, that she captivates you, that she excites you. I see in verse 20 that we are to avoid any lustful thoughts or contemplations. We shouldn't let our minds go there. We should keep it fixed. And then in verse 21, one of the foundational reasons for all that we're talking about here is because he reminds us, we're to remember, God knows what you think, what you see, and what you do. Always be aware of that. God is watching. God is taking note. God is monitoring. Let that be a source of accountability in your life. God knows He's watching. A man never opened the door of a car for his wife. As a matter of fact, he never opened any door for his wife. He would say things like, well, she has two good arms. Even his table manners were lacking. They had much to be desired. After many years of marriage, his wife died, leaving him heartbroken. As the pallbearers brought the casket out of the funeral service, headed toward the hearse, somehow the husband got ahead of the pallbearers, and he was standing between them and the hearse. Upon reaching the hearse, the mortician said, open the door for her, will you? And the man would just quickly reach for the door, and as he was reaching for the door, he froze. He realized in that moment that he had never opened a car door for her in his life. Now in her death, it would be the first, the last, and the only time that he had ever opened a door for her. Men, I am convinced that if we will treat our wives with more respect, if we will act to them like they are a queen and a princess, they will respond like one to us. I am convinced that if we will serve and be kind and minister to our spouses, they are like sponges, and they will soak it up. But men, when you go to hugging on them, which you want to do eventually anyway, guess what? All that you invested in your spouse will be squeezed right out back to you. You know what a sponge is? A sponge will only give out what it's soaked up. And so, men, I encourage you, pour into your spouse, pour into your wife, pour good things, lavish love, respect, treat, honor, serve. And let her soak it all up like a sponge. And then when you go and squeeze her and hug on her, all the love that you have lavished on her, all the service and all of that grace and mercy will be squeezed back into your life, and you will be a recipient of what you gave. What kind of love do you have for your spouse? You are very familiar with kinds of love, but let me review them because it helps us to analyze the level or the depth of love that we have for our spouse. Biblically, there are at least three kinds of love. Unfortunately, when they are translated into English, all of them are translated the word L-O-V-E, love. And in our society today, we have lost the understanding of true biblical or godly love. But there, in our world today, there is a love called eros. E-R-O-S. And that refers to a love that it's a reflection of a longing, of a desire. It's a selfish kind of love. It's a motivation that comes from, what can I get? Eros. Eros comes from being associated a lot with physical and sexual love. It can be possessive. It can be controlling. It can even be dangerous. God did not intend for us to have selfish love. But He did give us longing and desire, which is part of an eros. But when eros goes bad, it becomes possessive, controlling, shallow, fleshly, alone. But there's a second kind of love. The second kind of love is philos. Philos. That is the deeper kind of love that goes toward a friend or a companion. It is a brotherly love. Philos is characterized by shared experiences and joy, common interest. Philos literally means brotherly love. In some passages, like 1 Thessalonians 5:26, in the King James, it says that we are to greet each other with a holy kiss. It uses there the word philos. And it actually means greet each other with brotherly love, brotherly friendship. Now, you know, and it's still very much a practice of that culture in the Middle East, in the East today, that when men will meet each other, they will lean up and kiss each other's cheek. But also, you know that in our culture, we don't practice the kissing on the cheek. We are more familiar with the hug. And so really, he's getting at the heart of the issue, not at the form of the expression. He's getting at the heart of the issue. Brotherly love, philos, we are to greet each other with that kind of brotherly love, an expression of a heart of companionship. So, encourage you to hug one another. There's a third kind of love. Know what it is? Sure you do. Agape love. That is a pure, unconditional love. It is motivated by a recipient's need. It's not motivated by how you feel. It's not motivated by how strong or the resources that you have. It is motivated by an awareness of the need that is present. It's unconditional. It protects. It's listed. This agape love is listed in 1 Corinthians 13. It protects. It trusts. It hopes. It perseveres. It protects. It never fails. Agape love. Agape love seeks the highest and the best for the individual that it's going to minister to. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil. It rejoices in the truth. You see, agape love is divine love. It originates with God. It is the fruit of God's Spirit in us. Read Galatians 5, 22 and 23 when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace. The very first thing that is indicated as a fruit of the Spirit is love. Something that we cannot create or generate or drum up. And so when we are aware that we don't have the kind of love that God wants us to have, what should we do? We should go to Him and say, God, I am aware that I don't have that agape love that You want me to have. Would You please give me Your agape love? Would You please fill me afresh and anew with Your Holy Spirit and let the fruit of Your Spirit be born in my life that I might have that agape, unconditional, protecting, giving kind of love. I'm not just talking about in the church or in the community or in our homes. I'm talking about in our marriages too. Because sometimes we know that in our marital relationships, it can be pretty rough sailing. Sometimes our marital relationship can kind of come to a grinding halt. It gets pretty rough. And our feelings and our emotions get pretty dry. And they need some fresh anointing of the agape love of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in our lives. If wives and husbands would practice giving love instead of waiting to receive it, David Imbach said, I doubt if there would ever be a divorce. But when two people choose a mate on the basis of what they expect to get out of a partner, they are bound for divorce because each is wanting to receive. Friends, we need to have agape love so that we don't sit around in our marriages waiting for our spouse to give and to love to us. We need God to help us have the initiative to reach out and love. Walter Trobisch said, marriage is not an achievement which is finished. It is a dynamic process between two people, a relationship which is constantly being changed, which grows or dies. What is your marriage doing? Is your marriage still growing? Or is your marriage dying? It cannot stay at the same place. It will either become stronger today, or it will begin to drift backwards today.
A man was asked by a close friend if he loved his late wife. I did, he said, but not until after she was gone. Maybe it's time we start looking for the people to love, instead of looking for people to love us. Let's join Dwayne and our director Don Schenk for a few final thoughts. Fellas?
Dwayne, I often hear young people, when they're contemplating marriage, they are sometimes hesitant because they're not sure if they love the person enough to marry them. How important is it to have that deep level of commitment of love before marriage? It seems to me today you're saying that love is something you cultivate during the marriage relationship.
I do believe that love is something that's cultivated, but I believe it would be very dangerous for you to enter into a marriage if there's not a sense of confidence about that love before you get married. Love changes through time. It adapts and grows. But if there's not love there to start, I think that marriage is in trouble.
Well, Dwayne, let me just clarify a little bit there, maybe what I was trying to ask. The difference between love as a feeling that just happens to me and love as a decision that I make to love someone.
I think you have to go back and look at the definition of what love is. If love is just defined as a feeling and emotion, then you can love somebody right away. But I don't think that's the definition of love. Love is something that develops over time. And we'll talk more about love next week.
I'd like to share some letters with those who have joined us today. From people in Zimbabwe, Africa, who love to listen to our program. Dwayne, you have several letters there in front of you, and I have some in front of me here on the desk. Let's just share some excerpts from these with our listeners who've joined us today. Here's someone who writes, I have been blessed by listening to the program. It has been my source of inspiration. Your teachings on the program have really opened my eyes because they deal with the most important aspects of the Christian life.
Don, here's one from Zimbabwe. It says, thank you for the joy your program that brings to us. Now, I'm just writing as it's written. I find it as a blessing that it is rare and true. Just keep on doing the pleasant work.
And here's one very similar, this one coming from the town of Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. Greeting to you in the name of our Lord Jesus. I thank God for your programs because they have been a blessing to me. This is my prayer, that God will bless and expand your ministry. It has helped me in my spiritual life. Dwayne, that prayer there is, in a sense, our prayer.
Yes.
And we pray that God will bless and expand this ministry. This ministry is not about you and I. It's about the people that we want to be reaching for Jesus Christ. And at this time, I think it's appropriate also to remind our listeners that these programs going out across Africa depend on your support. You know, right now we're in the middle of summer. Many people are on vacation. And unfortunately, it seems that oftentimes people also take a vacation from supporting the ministry during the summer. And I'd just like to encourage you to remember that we continue broadcasting around the world throughout the year. And this month during July, traditionally, giving does slow down. And so we're just making an extra appeal to you today, just inviting you to join us in this ministry to help reach out to these people. As you've heard in these letters, they very much appreciate the word of God that they're hearing through the program. And the reality is that for many of these people, they would gladly support this program, but they just don't have the resources. If they were to give a gift that might be a whole day's wages for them, that might be the equivalent of what you and I would spend for lunch. So I just ask you to share the blessings that God has given you with people in Africa and India.
Make no mistake, your gifts have a profound impact in Africa and around the world. The Tide is a listener-supported ministry. It's one that depends upon you to stay on the air. To make a one-time donation or to pledge a monthly commitment of $10 or more, call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. Again, that's 1-877-859-5484. And thank you. Thank you so very much. When you call, by the way, remember that today's program, this one titled Protecting Your Marriage from Sexual Sin, is available on audio cassette or CD for a gift of any size. Now, to get your copy, call us at our toll-free number, 1-877-859-5484, and ask for program number 0429. Or send your request to us at the Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. To find out more about the Tide Ministry or to hear an encore presentation of today's program, please visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Coming up next week, a message I believe every Christian needs to hear, and I hope you'll join us for the conclusion of Dwayne's message, Protecting Your Marriage from Sexual Sin. Until then, I'm Dave Vino, thanking you for tuning in to The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide.